Ladies and gentlemen, welcome into this edition of the Chi-Town Hockey Podcast. I'm your host, Jake Golden. We have a lot to talk about today. We have a quote from Kirby Dach. I'm going to list my top five free agent signings. I'm going to talk about the NHL possibly returning to the Olympics under a new CBA agreement that could be passed. And I'm also going to talk about the new hub cities and which city will host the 2020 Stanley Cup Final if that team's home city is not able to host it. But before we get into all of that, I ask that you please subscribe, rate, and review the podcast. That helps me a lot, helps me climb in the ratings. So please make sure to do that. That helps a lot. Contact options for listener questions. Make sure to send those listener questions in. Please do it. I don't think you guys realize how much that helps out the podcast, how much it'll keep the podcast going. But just sending in a simple listener question will help me a ton. The contact options are the Twitter account at ChiTownPod, the Instagram account at ChiTownHockey.pod. We have my personal Twitter account, JakeGolden777. We have the Gmail account, ChiTownHockeyPod@gmail.com. We also have my Blackhawks related Instagram account at Blackhawks.pulse. Any of those you can message, tweet at me, send in a question. Any of those you are eligible to do that. So please make sure you send them in. Now to jump right out of the gate with some of the reports coming out the other day under a new CBA agreement per Elliot Friedman. If the new CBA extension is approved, it would mean that we would see NHL players back at the Winter Olympics for the first time since 2014. So, a couple years ago, the NHL voted that they did not want players headed over to wherever it was being played to participate in the Winter Olympics. However, this new CBA deal, if it is approved, that means that we would... It's guaranteed to us, guaranteed to the Olympics, and guaranteed to the players themselves that they will be in the 2022 and 2026 Winter Olympics. It is guaranteed NHL players will be back at the Olympics. So that's certainly a good step for hockey. That's a good way to grow the NHL. So I think that they'd be making the right decision if they do end up letting players back at the Olympics if the CBA extension is approved. But nothing really more to talk about there other than those facts that have been listed. Next, I want to move on to a little bit of the Hub City talk. I'm not sure if I talked about this in the last episode or not, but... I don't think I did, but even if I did, here's a little refresher. So, it's confirmed by multiple NHL insiders and NHL sources that the NHL and the NHLPA have officially, or not officially, but they're going to announce that the two hub cities that will host the Eastern and the Western conferences will be Toronto, which will host the Western Conference, being an Eastern hub city, at the Scotiabank Arena, and then Edmonton, being a Western Conference city, is going to host the Eastern Conference at their home arena, Rogers Place. So all NHL players that will be participating in the expanded 24-team 2020 Stanley Cup playoffs will then travel to their respective cities on July 26th to July 27th-ish. And then Phase 4 / gameplay will eventually resume for the first time since March 12th, when the Blackhawks beat the San Jose Sharks 6-2 on Thursday, July 30th, 2020, which will begin the qualifying rounds for the Stanley Cup playoffs. And then the NHL expects the Stanley Cup to be awarded in late September to early October. And then, as previously announced by the NHL, they will not go by the typical bracketed playoff format that we do see year to year with the Stanley Cup playoffs. and they will instead go to reseeding teams after every round, which means the worst seed will then always play the best seed, and then 8 and 8 will be matched up, or 2 and the second worst. So that's pretty much a basic explanation of what's going to be happening. So there are dates. Hockey is going to be back. If nothing else gets complicated, we're obviously seeing some coronavirus cases rise in some states that are starting to reopen. However, when you reopen states, there are obviously going to be more coronavirus cases. When you distribute a lot more tests, there are obviously going to be more coronavirus cases. So I don't really think it's fair to go off of the fact that some states are increasing, because if you're reopening, whether it be now, 5 months from now, a year from now, 2 years from now, you're still going to see coronavirus cases on the rise. Obviously, a couple months from now, a year from now, especially 2 years from now, a couple months from now, we can probably expect to see a couple cases, 1 year, maybe a few. And then 2 years from now, my guess is it'll probably already be gone. So as you reopen things, there are obviously going to be cases on the rise, because you have people interacting with each other. You know, if you're going out to eat and some waitress or a waiter at a restaurant doesn't use gloves, just things like that, there are going to be cases on the rise due to things like that. But, I mean, then the people that are all pissed off at everyone who's not wearing a mask or who are going out and doing stuff, it's, well, they have that choice. The American people are educated enough to make to make decisions that they feel are the best for them. I mean, there's no point in trashing somebody who's going out and doing something, because after months of staying inside and months of quarantine, months of nothing being open, you obviously are going to want to get back out into the real world. And, you know, people are doing that. And as a result of that, coronavirus cases are on the rise. But what do you say? You can't, like, people would be very angry if you just shut everything back down. And then once you reopen it all up again, cases are still going to be on the rise. So there's just not really a perfect answer to the current situation right now. It's an unprecedented situation. Not everyone knows how to deal with it. I'm going to take about a minute break here. I'll be back with you guys in 60 seconds or less. Thank you for listening to the Chi-Town Hockey Podcast. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Chi-Town Hockey Podcast. I'm your host, Jake Golden. I'm now going to get into the quote from Kirby Doc the other day on returning to play in the NHL. So, quoting Kirby Doc, he says, "This could be a health risk for many young guys' careers. We're high-intensity athletes where our hearts and lungs are pumping extremely fast, and this could be damaging to us even past our careers," close quote. So that's Kirby Doc on returning to play. In something I read, expanding on that, he's also excited about returning to play, though, which I'm sure every NHL player is beyond their fear. You know, they're going to be excited to get back to what they love. They're going to be excited to be able to make money again. They're going to be excited to get out of their house. They're going to be excited to compete for the Stanley Cup, you know, the hardest trophy in sports to win. This tournament, Ryan O'Reilly said it just the other day, this is going to be the hardest tournament to win. This is going to be the hardest tournament any NHL players have ever played in, due to the fact that it's not going to take that normal 8 weeks and those normal 16 wins to win the Stanley Cup. So this is definitely going to be a harder tournament, but players are excited to compete for the Stanley Cup, and hoisting it above their head is every player's dream. So they're excited, and we will probably see like some official announcements or something from players and or coaching staff in like the next few days, probably near future, on like whether or not they're going to be back behind the bench or they're going to be playing, or they're going to be in the press box, whatever it is, whatever type of role they play in the organization. I'm sure we're going to hear some official announcements from those guys. But players, you know, if they decide to sit out and their team wins the Stanley Cup, then that's a big blow for them. So you know what? They need to choose between whether or not they want the Stanley Cup and try to compete for the Stanley Cup, or they want to sit out, watch their team win the Stanley Cup, and not play, you know? So definitely going to be a tough decision for those guys. Kirby Dach, he knows the risks, but he's excited, as probably all NHL players are. So that's enough on that. Nothing really to expand upon there. One thing before I get into the top five free agent signings by me, the Blackhawks defenseman Calvin DeHaan, he was technically activated off injured reserve, long-term injured reserve, because he practiced today with some teammates in Phase 2 voluntary workouts. Calvin DeHaan, he is expected by the Blackhawks, by Stan Bowman, to be ready for the start of training camps, which are scheduled to begin on July 13th, which just the other day there was an announcement that they were pushing that date back from July 10th. So it's been pushed back by 3 days. And then Blackhawks analysts, scouts, all those guys that watch the game closely, they do predict Calvin DeHaan had the greatest impact of any player returning from injury, which I also see it the same way. I think Calvin DeHaan was playing like a number one defenseman, playing like a good defensive defenseman, blocking shots. He was contributing, moving the puck. He was doing a really good job when he was here before he got injured, so definitely a shame he was injured this year. I think we could have had a little bit better of a record had he not have been injured, but certainly going to be good for the Blackhawks fans, to watch him and for him to play for the Stanley Cup this year with the Blackhawks and try and give the Blackhawks a chance, because he is probably going to be a very crucial piece in whether or not we can win or lose games and keep the puck out of our net. It's going to be awesome to see Calvin DeHaan return. Excited to see the impact he makes for the Blackhawks. So I'm very excited. Now, I'm going to go ahead and move on to my top five free agent signings that I listed out on my Instagram page at Blackhawks.pulse just the other day. And kind of why. So number one, I think we can all agree, and I think we can all... Well, actually, you know what? I'm going to start from number five. This is probably a better idea. So number five, I have Scott Darling, signed as a free agent. I put him at number five because he played really well in the 2015 Stanley Cup playoffs, played really well as a backup. Had Corey Crawford not been as good as he was, Scott Darling probably could have ran a 1A, 1B situation with another goalie. Played very well after Crow struggled in the 2015 Stanley Cup playoffs, took over, won a series after Crow took back over in round two. Number four, I have Robin Lehner. So I have Robin Lehner here because when he came in, actually it's a year ago and one day, after he was signed a year ago and one day, he came in, made an immediate impact, had a very, very high save percentage, very low goals against average, and he really kind of kept the Blackhawks in games, you know, when Corey Crawford was struggling. And then, of course, when Corey Crawford got back into form and Robin Lehner was back into form, it was crazy. Best goaltending duo in the league, winning games left and right after we went on that streak. So Robin Lehner came in, made a good impact. But after he left, however, Corey Crawford took the reins over, keeping Malcolm Subban on the bench for all of a minute and 10 seconds. And he showed that the competition between him and Lehner was not good for him this year. And it was probably one of the reasons why he struggled in the beginning, because he was afraid to lose that starting job going into the year. But after Robin Lehner left, he was lights out, won a good number of games, very, very high save percentage, low goals against average, just lights out this year from Corey Crawford after Robin Lehner left. But there is no question about it. Robin Lehner is a good solid NHL franchise starting goalie that does need that contract that he hasn't been offered in recent years because of what has gone on with his addiction problem and all that stuff and his suicidal thoughts. So, partially, I understand where teams are coming from. They don't know if Robin Leonard is going to kill himself and they're going to lose him, or if he's going to get back into his addiction, because it's only been about 2 years. So they don't know that yet. Once he keeps on going for another couple of years, then it will be solidified that, okay, he's now okay. But right now, teams are very unsure of Robin Leonard's future and what Robin Leonard is going to be doing. So I understand it from that perspective, and I also understand it from Robin Leonard's perspective. However, you can't just think, oh, okay, I've been good for 2 years now. I deserve a big money contract. That's just not how the real world works. That's not how front offices are going to handle you. And he's going to need to realize that it's going to take a couple years to build back up a reputation of he's not an addict and he doesn't have suicidal thoughts. Moving up to number three, I have Artemi Panarin, signed as a free agent from Russia. Came in, tied for fourth, 30 goals in a rookie campaign. Currently tied with Dominik Kubalík for 30 goals. Dominik Kubalík, however, most likely would have beat Artemi Panarin because 30 goals tied. Dominik Kubalík did it in 70 games, I believe. Artemi Panarin did it in 82. So Dominik Kubalík had 12 less games to do it than Artemi Panarin. But no doubt, Artemi Panarin, definitely good player, came in ridiculously good to the Blackhawks, scored, I believe, over 80 points, made the playoffs with the Blackhawks, so he made a really good impact when he came into Chicago, and even Patrick Kane stated that he loved playing with Artemi Panarin, he loved playing on a line with Artemi Panarin, and he really wonders today what might have been if the Blackhawks hadn't traded away Artemi Panarin in 2017 after losing to the Nashville Predators in the 2017 Stanley Cup playoffs, and then trading away Nicholas Jalmerson. He does wonder what could have been, and even Artemi Panarin himself wonders what could have been, and the trade still confuses him, and it really does confuse me. You know, the reason Stan Bowman gave was for cap reasons, but they were both signed at $6 million. Sod had an extra 2 years, but you know what? If you had kept Panarin up until he was a free agent, when he was with Columbus, then the cup window most likely would have stayed open for a lot longer than it did, because it wasn't until we traded away Artemi Panarin that things started to go downhill. It was that day we traded away Jalmerson and Artemi Panarin, things went downhill. Of course, Corey Crawford got injured, Corey Crawford got injured, we were playing good. 16-9-2, I believe, was our record before Corey Crawford got injured in December of 2017. After he returned last year, we never recovered back to that. Even though we had close to the same amount of guys we did that prior year, never got back to it. My guess is we lost a lot of confidence. You know, you lose Corey Crawford, when you lose that goalie, you lose a lot of confidence. Then you have an AHL goaltender come in Anton Forsberg, and he's not that good of a goalie. So he's obviously not going to play as well as Corey Crawford. So a lot of it was the confidence aspect of things. You lose your number one goalie, who's won 2 Stanley Cups with your team, who's the backbone of your team, and you lose him. So that obviously is going to hurt. We haven't been able to recover from that. Stan Bowman made moves this offseason that those haven't really fitted. But obviously can't really all blame it on Stan, because of the fact that rumors have now surfaced that John McDonough was always looking over his shoulder and approving trades and telling him what to do, telling who to call up, telling him who to trade, all that stuff. So you can't all put it on Stan. I'm just saying the moves that were made by him as general manager, the players haven't really worked out. Chemistry hasn't really been there. But hopefully you can probably get a solid player in the draft. This draft is loaded with talent. If we get the number one pick, which I have made it clear on my Instagram, I want hockey players to win. I want the Blackhawks to win. I want them to go as far as they can, because that is the goal of playing hockey. That's the goal. You play to win. You don't play to tank and pick first overall. If you're good enough to win and you're good enough to move on to the second round or the third round or whatever round it might be, you don't need that first overall pick because you are good enough to do that. If the Blackhawks can show they're good enough, then we can go on a playoff run. If they're not good enough, yes, we can pick number one. But I myself want the Blackhawks to win. That is what I want to see from my favorite team. I want to see them do what they did this last decade and apply it to this brand new one. I want to see that happen. Okay, that hockey players play to win. When I play hockey myself, I play to win. That's just how it works. I want to see the Blackhawks win. It's what the city of Chicago deserves. It really just is. Moving on to number two of my top five free agents, we have Brian Campbell. Now, some people had a little beef. Not beef, but I mean, some people were kind of like, I probably would have put Artemi Panarin there. The reason I put Brian Campbell at the number two spot is because of the fact that he came in pre-dynasty, played good, defensive defenseman, good player, won a Stanley Cup. Artemi Panarin didn't win a Stanley Cup, okay? When you win a Stanley Cup, it's a little bit different. Brian Campbell, he won a Stanley Cup. He was a really good defenseman. He was a backbone of our team, helped keep the puck out of the net. He's now even with the Blackhawks organization today. So that's why I put Brian Campbell there. He made a big dent in the Blackhawks organization that helped us immediately and has helped us in the long run. He has played great with the Blackhawks, played great with the Blackhawks. He was just a great player with the Blackhawks, and I mean, that's all I have to say about it. He came in pre-dynasty, good player. Artemi Panarin, if he had come in pre-dynasty and had done this, okay, that number two. But Brian Campbell coming in pre-dynasty, defensive defenseman, which don't always get the credit that they deserve, defensive defenseman, then it would probably be different. But coming in pre-dynasty, being able to be a good defensive defenseman, help the Blackhawks, that is definitely something that has improved the team and has helped sculpture the team into what it was after Brian Campbell left, and then before he came back a second time. So he played a really nice role in the Blackhawks organization. Now, moving on to number one, I'm sure we can all guess, July 1st, 2009, the Blackhawks signed Marian Hossa. And turned out to be a pretty decent signing. I mean, I'd say. Three Stanley Cups of the Blackhawks, over 1,200 NHL games played, over 1,000 NHL points, over 500 career goals in the NHL for Marian Hossa. Just an absolute underrated two-way amazing player. He was underrated when he was on the Blackhawks, I can tell you that, because I underrated him myself. And it wasn't until he was gone where you realized you miss him so much. Underrated Blackhawks player. Just ridiculous what he did to help the Blackhawks. Hopefully he can come back and play and be a Blackhawk again, and possibly a front office position. I'd love to see that from Marian Hossa. I'd love to see him back here. He's a good hockey mind. He knows what he's doing. He loves to talk hockey. So I'd love to see Marian Hossa back in the Blackhawks organization, in a Blackhawks shirt, in a Blackhawks hat again, and come join us in the front office after his contract expires with the Arizona Coyotes. But there you go. Those are my top five free agent signings by the Chicago Blackhawks. Let me know. Shoot me a question, or just shoot me whether or not you agree or disagree with me with any of the contact options I'm about to list in a minute here. But yes, that's pretty much all the news and stuff I wanted to talk about. So contact options for listener questions. We have the Twitter, @ChiTownPod. We have the Instagram, @ChiTownHockey.pod. We have my personal Twitter account, @JGolden777. We have the Gmail account, ChiTownHockeyPod@gmail.com. And finally, we have my Blackhawks Instagram account, @BlackhawksPulse. Please make sure you send those questions in. Definitely helps the pod. You guys don't really realize it as much, but when you send them in, helps the pod. Helps keep content rolling out. Very much appreciated to any of those contact options. Secondly, please make sure you guys do subscribe, rate, review, share the podcast anywhere you possibly can. Friends, family, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Pinterest, wherever you can share it. Very appreciated. Would help me a lot, okay? Helps me climb in the rankings. Helps me get more listeners. Helps me provide more people with Blackhawks content that I know you guys will love. So make sure you do that. Subscribe, rate, review, share. Please make sure to do it for me, guys. But I hope you guys enjoyed this episode of the Chi-Town Hockey Podcast, hosted by me, Jake Golden. Talked about some good stuff today. Hope you guys learned some good stuff. So once again, thank you guys for listening to this edition of the Chi-Town Hockey Podcast. Remember, new episode will be dropped on Tuesday, 5 a.m. Central Time. Make sure to check it out. By then, we'll probably have a lot of NHL news coming out as the NHL releases Hub Cities, officially announces everything that will be happening. Great episode that you guys won't want to miss. So, thank you for listening to this episode. I'm your host, Jake Golden, and I hope to see you in the next one.